Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, somehow I missed Margie in Reed Point. Margie, call back in. I want to hear your name. I want to hear your idea here. Yeah, I didn't see it. I think I was too busy reading the messages on the Montana Talks app and then yapping on the radio. But Margie in Reed Point, I missed her call just before we wrapped up the 7 o'clock hour of the show. So Margie, call back in. Apparently Margie had a name idea. Alligator, for those of you just getting rolling with us here, Alligator Alcatraz in Florida. What would we call it if we had a facility like that here in Montana? What would we call the Alligator Alcatraz of Montana? And I shared a couple of great names already. Tim in Billings says we'll call it Grizzly Gitmo. Right on John in Bozeman says we'll call it Carnivore Island. What say you? And so I posted that on X and at Facebook.com/Flint Report. MTJack110 says we would call it the Highline Ice Box. I like that one, too, the Highline Ice Box. The Ice House, maybe. Fred here, the Grizzly Gulag. Let's see, Mediability Pro says we would call it Uncle Bob's Bear Bait Company. So that's another one that's coming in here. All right, 406-294-0970 is the number for you, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. Ooh, Margie is back in Reed Point. Margie, thanks for calling back in. I understand you got a name for us.
It's Margie, by the way.
Oh, Margie. Okay. Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah. I get in a little bit of trouble for being politically incorrect, but I said the Cayuse Corral, and we should just open up that facility there in Hardin.
Well, it's being used by the BIA right now. I don't see why they couldn't use the other half of it for the DHS, right?
Yeah, it's huge, and it's sat there for years, and it was ridiculous that tax dollars went towards that. But anyway, yeah, Cayuse Corral, let's round them up.
All right, Margie, thanks for the phone call and appreciate it. Yeah, send us a message on the Montana Talks app if you've got an idea as well, and or you can call in right now also, 406-294-0970. Let's see. So we were talking about the One Big Beautiful Bill. We had Congressman Troy Downing join us about an hour ago as the One Big Beautiful Bill now goes back to the House of Representatives. And anyway, we talked more about Montana energy, et cetera. So, but Stephen Miller, he weighed in on Rapid Response 47, has this on X. I think he was on Fox, with Hannity last night. But he describes this as the largest spending cut in American history.
Well, this is the largest spending cut, Laura, in American history. Think about what's in this bill. The largest tax cut and reform in American history. The largest spending cut in American history. The largest welfare reform in American history. The largest reduction in federal spending ever achieved in a single bill. And then it also includes the most robust, comprehensive border security and immigration enforcement package we've ever seen.
All right, we'll hold it right there. Get back to your calls right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area for today, a late-day shower storm possible towards Bozeman. Otherwise, high temperature readings will range from the low 90s in Bozeman to the upper 90s in Billings. For tonight, isolated shower and storm chances, especially towards Bozeman, with low temperature readings ranging from about 58 in Bozeman to the mid-60s in Billings. More shower and storm chances develop in the area Thursday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
After endless coverage of tedious congressional time-wasting, President Trump's big, beautiful bill finally passed the Senate in an all-night session. Still has to be reconciled with the House. Now, if opponents had gotten one more vote, Lisa Murkowski, for example, hates this bill, then it would have failed. Meanwhile, Elon Musk said that he's going to pour money into defeating anybody who voted for it, and at the same time, he says he wants to start a third party because there's no difference, he says, between the Republicans and the Democrats. So Trump retaliated, saying it was all about the electric vehicle mandate, which has been there from the beginning, and perhaps we should have Doge take a good hard look at Elon's subsidies. Big money to be saved. May he have to head back to South Africa. This is called counterpunching. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Hi, everyone.
Broadcasting live across the big sky. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, here's just about 30 seconds more or so of Stephen Miller describing the One Big Beautiful Bill as the largest spending cut in American history.
Deprivation of all of the tax benefits that President Trump is fighting to deliver the middle class, like no tax on tips, no tax on Social Security, no tax on overtime. The Senate passed this bill just today, demonstrating that they are fighting for President Trump. They are fighting for his agenda. They are not going to listen to an outside voice that does not represent the interests of the American people or the interests of the Republican Party. And the House is going to rally behind President Trump to pass this bill for America.
All right. By the way, we got reaction from Senator Tim Sheehy shortly after the news broke, which happened right after we wrapped up Montana Talks, just as we wrapped up at 10 a.m. on Tuesday. Senator Sheehy said this, quote, from securing the border to strengthening our military to preventing the largest tax increase in history while implementing no tax on tips and overtime, the One Big Beautiful Bill delivers huge wins for working class families across the country and revives the American dream. I'm proud to see it pass the Senate. Montanans and Americans spoke clearly on November 5th. They expect us to deliver on the America First agenda, and they can rest assured I'll keep fighting to unleash prosperity and restore common sense in our nation's capital. We've also got reaction here from Senator Steve Daines. But first, let's get to a caller. We've got Kat in eastern Montana. Kat, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Well, good morning, Aaron, and good morning, Montana. Thank you to our veterans. I think it's very important that your listeners know that what was not taken out of the Big Beautiful Bill was the Medicaid transitioning for minors and adults, okay? And I asked AI and things of this nature why it was taken out, has something to do with reconciliation matters. Okay, well, guess what? And then it said, well, look to your state. Okay, well, what our state does is it does not restrict Medicaid coverage for gender-affirming care. State policy explicitly includes transgender-related health care. Okay, so we've got a real problem here because this is my personal, what, you know, we call jihad. This is my personal jihad. We should not be using, okay, our taxpayer dollars in Medicaid for children to transition, all right? We shouldn't be using it for adults. But for children, that is just unbelievable. Now, I am happy about the Big Beautiful Bill, and there are wonderful things in there. But if, Aaron, in Montana? If we cannot protect our most vulnerable, then what are we doing?
Well, President Trump is protecting. President Trump already has protected the most vulnerable, and that's why we saw the news out of Missoula. You're raising an important point here, because we have to codify this stuff as well, President. We have to codify President Trump's executive orders. Now, maybe it can't happen in a budget reconciliation package where we can get things done with a 50 vote. But at the end of the day, right now, the reason why some of these woke hospitals are not doing the gender transition garbage on kids is because of they have specifically cited opposition from the state of Montana, and they've cited the executive orders from President Donald J. Trump. So people need to be very clear that President Trump is protecting kids, that the state of Montana is protecting kids. Now, you do point to a broader issue, though, which is the fact that why did the bill to block this stuff permanently from targeting kids get blocked? It got blocked because of liberal judges in our left-wing Montana Supreme Court. So I just say that to say that we shouldn't be undermining support for the one big beautiful bill right when it's on the 1 yard line getting into the touchdown. What we need to do is be calling out our left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court and these liberal judges. And then we also need to remind people that Donald J. Trump is protecting the youth in this country right now. I just wanted to make sure that we were clear on that one.
Yeah, absolutely, Aaron. I agree with you. But I feel like every time we get closer to making this a ban, my tax dollars shouldn't be going to that. We move 10 steps backwards. So when is it going to be okay to have something like this?
We are moving forward because of President Donald J. Trump. Now, the parliamentarian wouldn't allow the codified piece in a budget reconciliation package. But again, I think there are too many people on our side out there, you know, some of these folks in the conservative movement that capitalize off of undermining progress and undermining significant victories and significant achievements by keeping people constantly complaining, constantly angry, constantly mad. And we have to celebrate victories that are taking place with President Donald. We have to get these victories across the finish line. And yes, to your point, we also have to fight against the left-wing mob on our Montana Supreme Court. But I would just say, don't let these activists that are trying to capitalize off of people that are trying to, I forget who said it, but they said, you know what, Republicans and conservatives need to be able to accept a victory every now and then and accept a win every now and then. I just think that there's some special interest groups out there that just want to capitalize off of the constant complaining, the constant undermining of President Donald J. Trump, because they want to appear like they're more conservative than everybody else. And I'm not saying that's you, Kat. You're raising a very important issue that's very near and dear to all of us. But I'm saying that there are groups out there who simply will never sign on with anything because they want to be the constant virtue-signaling victim class of the Republican Party.
You're 100% right, Aaron. I agree with you. And Trump is a personal hero of mine. But I will not quit until this transgender care on children is done. It's over. And so I support the big, beautiful bill. But Montana, we've got to wake up, and we have to do something about this transgender care on minors with our tax dollars in the state of Montana.
Permanently.
And I'll land there.
Permanently.
I will land there.
Not
Thank
just a
you.
Temporary fix. No, you're exactly right. It needs to be codified. It needs to be made permanent. In order to do that in Montana, we've got to focus on Supreme Court elections and not just congressional races and things like that. Kat, great phone call. Great to hear from you. Thanks so much for calling in.
This is House Call for Health. Your morning coffee may offer more than just an early pick-me-up. Scientists discovering caffeine doesn't just perk up the brain. It energizes cells in a way that could slow down aging. This according to research from Queen Mary University of London. Researchers studying fishing yeast tested the effects of caffeine, exposing the yeast to various forms of cellular stress. Not only did caffeine extend the yeast's lifespan, it showed caffeine overrides certain DNA damage checkpoints, allowing cells to continue functioning while repairing damage. The lead researcher writes, "These findings help explain why caffeine might be beneficial for health and longevity. But before you start viewing your morning latte as a miracle drug, keep in mind, again, the study was conducted in fission yeast, not humans. A fission yeast is a single-celled organism very similar to human cells." For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Well, it already passed in the United States House of Representatives, and just after we wrapped up Tuesday's Montana Talks, the breaking news came out. The One Big Beautiful Bill has now passed the Senate as well, all in advance of President Trump's 4th of July deadline. Hey, maybe we'll talk about that on Wednesday's Montana Talks. Maybe you got something else you want to talk about. Phone lines open for you, and who knows, maybe we'll sneak in a guest or two as well. Wednesday's Montana Talk, statewide, 9 to 10.
The chairman of the Conservative House Freedom Caucus, Andy Harris, says he will vote no on a motion to proceed on the massive tax and spending package passed by the Senate, saying it increases the deficit by too much.
The bottom line is this is not ready for prime time.
The House could vote today on what President Trump calls the Big Beautiful Bill, but conservative pushback is threatening the president's July 4th deadline. President Trump has touted the package as the biggest tax cut in U.S. history. Vice President J.D. Vance had to break a 50-50 tie for it to pass the Senate. On Capitol Hill, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordland.
The cattle futures plunged on Tuesday after Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins announced border ports will soon reopen for livestock imports from Mexico after an eight-week closure due to New World screwworm concerns. The reopening comes as USDA and Mexican officials say their ramped up surveillance and release of over 100 million sterile flies per week is paying off. They report no new cases or northward spread of the pest have been detected. The phased reopening allows cattle and bison from Sonora or Chihuahua, where no New World screwworm has been reported, or bovine from those treated under USDA protocols can enter. Equine must complete a 7-day quarantine. They say future reopenings depend on Mexico's progress with movement controls, surveillance, and fly production. Both countries say they remain focused on keeping U.S. livestock safe from the New World screwworm. Reaction from cattle producers across the nation has been critical of USDA's decision. Ranchers say the move to reopen the border to Mexican imports is too soon, as they fear New World screwworm could still be present close to the border. I'm Lane Nordland.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Grizzly Gorge. Grizzly Gorge. That was another one I was checking. Facebook.com/Flint Report. If we had a Florida-style alligator Alcatraz in Montana, what would we call it? Tim and Billings, Grizzly Gitmo, right on John, Carnivore Island. Cody Haslam says, build it in the middle of nowhere, Montana. Feed them water and peanut butter and jelly. Peanut butter, jelly time. Yeah, there we go. Hire veterans to run it and name it Grizzly Gorge. Let's see. There was another one that just came in on X. Oh, yeah. Mr. Cranky Pants on X says to call it Vigilante Village. And then we got an app message here. Bish in Billings says, how about the Montana train station? All right, migrants. All right, murderers, rapists, Trinde Aragua, gangbanger thugs. We've got options for you. You can go to Alligator Alcatraz in Florida, or you can go to the train station in Montana. I don't know. They might prefer Alligator Alcatraz than the train station, at least if they ever watched the show Yellowstone in Spanish. Let's see. Carol says big die country instead of big sky country. Let's see what else we got here. Andy and Whitefish, Missoula Misery Camp. But what about this whole alligator Alcatraz? Let me go back to that before we get to Steve calling in from the hills above Bozeman. What about alligator Alcatraz? Here we go. Here's Florida Governor Ron DeSantis describing it last night on Hannity after he and President Trump and Secretary Noem toured the facility yesterday.
Well, it's the most secure illegal alien detainee processing and deportation center in the country. We've been working with President Trump's administration on illegal immigration from the time he got sworn in. We proposed to do this, but they approved it and said, okay, guys, get going, do this at this airport in the middle of the Florida Everglades. And we did it in about a week. Got a state-of-the-art facility built, can hold thousands of detainees. President Trump said he's going to approve us using our National Guard judge advocates to serve as immigration judges. So literally, you'll have an illegal, you'll be able to have them have whatever due process right there at Alligator Alcatraz. And then guess what? 1,000 feet away, there's a massive runway where DHS can then fly them back to their home country. So I think we're also going to do another one in northeastern Florida at our National Guard training center in Camp Blanding. But Sean, the thing is the president was very thankful. Secretary Noem is very thankful. And we're happy to do it. But all the red states, at a minimum, need to step up and do this. If all red states are doing what Florida's doing, even if it's at a smaller scale, because they may be smaller, you're going to see massive numbers for the deportations. And Biden let in how many millions of people? We need these types of solutions if we want to get the job done.
All right. There you go. Grizzly Gitmo. In Montana, another red state that could be maybe doing something similar. Into the phone lines we go. We got Steve calling in from the hills above Bozeman. Steve, good to hear from you. What's going on?
Well, you know, Aaron, it's what's really going on in our country right now is quite interesting. But I remember where I was sitting when President Kennedy got killed. I was sitting in high school in Weibo, Montana, in study hall. The janitor had a little radio in his room, and he came to the door and said, somebody just shot Kennedy. What was Kennedy doing to get killed? He was going against the international bankers. He was pulling us out of Vietnam. He was releasing United States notes, not Federal Reserve notes. That's who we owe the trillions of dollars to, is the 8 richest families.
He was going after the communists is a big point there as well. And then you had radical elements in his own Democrat Party that wanted to pull the Democrat Party much further to the left, which is essentially the Democrat Party that we've got right now, thanks to the guy that unfortunately replaced JFK, which was LBJ. LBJ created in large part this monstrosity of a federal bureaucracy in the welfare state that we have to this day.
Well, that's right. And American people, you know, the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto was public education. So we can send the little kids to their public education indoctrination center, and they come out of there, they don't have a clue of what's going on. And
well, you look at New York City right now. Why is New York City such a mess? Why is New York City about to elect a full-fledged communist as mayor? Their public schools are an absolute mess. And despite all of the money that goes to their public schools are an absolute mess. Their public schools are teaching kids to despise America. So is it any surprise that you would have an anti-American communist running for mayor of New York City and the Democrat candidate for mayor of New York City? Steve, thanks for the call. Fox, this one's very interesting here. Check out this idea from Evan in Belt. You know, what if we had an alligator Alcatraz in Montana? What would you call it? See, this is why one phone call, one message from you can change the entire focus of the show for the rest of the morning. One message from, well, actually a couple of messages. Well, actually probably multiple messages from Right On John and Bozeman earlier in the 6 o'clock hour. That's what kicked off this whole fun conversation we're having here this morning. By the way, Right On John, I mentioned you at the GOP convention on Friday night because I was talking about how we were using AI to help us answer some questions. You know, remember that time when James Carville was talking about how there's a plant in the Democrat Party. There's a plant. James Carville said that there was a plant in the Democrat Party that's making the Democrats adopt all these insane radical left-wing positions. And so then I talked about how, thanks to a message from Right on John, we pulled up ChatGPT and Grok and said, hey, if Democrats are plants, what kind of plants would they be? And we got things like the dotter, the parasitic vine that basically wrap their vines around anything productive and then choke off any productivity whatsoever. But anyway, Evan and Belt. So what would we call the alligator Alcatraz of Montana? Evan and Belt says this. Hey, we could basically build the detention facility on an island. I'm embellishing a little bit more from your message here, Evan, but I think this is what you're getting at. What if we build an island right in the middle of the Berkeley Pit in Montana? And that could be our, if you want to call it Alligator Alcatraz. He says you could call it the Poison Pit. So do we build the Poison Pit Detention Center? That was one. Obviously, that wouldn't work. But anyway, you get the gist of the story here this morning. By the way, speaking of stories, speaking of illegal aliens and criminal illegal aliens, did you guys see the latest fake news coming from the Montana media? Remember the MS-13 criminal gangbanger illegal alien from El Salvador, Kilmore? And they kept calling him Maryland Man. Even though, like, the Scripps TV stations were calling him Maryland Man. And I commented on one of their Facebook pages, like, Maryland Man? He's from El Salvador. He's an illegal alien. And they kept calling him Maryland Man. Hey, Maryland Man. Well, now they've got Helena Man. If you saw this, they've got Helena Man now. So I read this story. Here's a couple headlines. The Lee newspapers. Helena Man detained by ICE during traffic stop, sparking protest. Oh, so Helena Man. And then even the Montana Television Network, usually their Helena people do a good job, but they dropped the ball with this one. ICE arrested a Helena Man after mistaking him for another person. Hey, Helena Man, he's not a Helena Man. He's from Mexico. And apparently he was wanted on a federal detainer. Why didn't they tell us why he was wanted on a federal detainer?
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
There is a reckoning going on right now. It isn't just riding this ship, getting the ship going in the right. There is a reckoning going on right now. A reckoning for the troops who were discriminated against and targeted and treated so horribly because of these stupid COVID policies of the Biden regime. By the way, apparently Lloyd Austin, former SecDef, is already trying to cash in with a consulting firm after all the damage he caused during his tenure. Give me a break. But when we talk about a reckoning, I want to go back to something that Kat in Eastern Montana talked about earlier this morning, because I want to just emphasize how much President Trump and this administration is doing right now to protect not only kids from this radical transgender garbage that's being forced on them or that they're being pushed down the path of, but he's not just fixing the policies and working to make sure that your taxpayer dollars don't fund this stuff. There is a reckoning that is going on right now. Did you guys hear about this news out of UPenn? You guys remember Leah Thomas, the dude who undressed in the locker room in front of the women swimmers? The dude who got the trophy after not even beating a woman in the swimming meet? He tied her, but they gave him the trophy because they wanted to look woke. They wanted to be the leaders in the woke agenda. And so even though he tied Riley Gaines, they gave him the trophy because that's the optics they wanted. If you guys haven't heard about this reckoning out of UPenn, this was remarkable what happened yesterday. And if you got a chance to meet Riley Gaines, this incredible female athlete. If you got to meet her when she was in Bozeman shortly after the November elections, you know exactly how powerful this really is. I'll get to that here in just a second. But first, let's go to Steve in Ballantyne. Steve, apparently you've got a name for us for the alligator Alcatraz of Montana. What would you call it?
Wolfkill Flats.
Wolfkill Flats. Where would you put it?
In the middle of Montana, somewhere it's flat.
Yeah.
But my question is, though, okay, why don't we just do, you know, like what that sheriff was doing in Arizona? Why give them anything nice? Give them some porta potties and some of them tents and put them out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, would that be like human, you know, for the left to say that's too harsh? I mean, it came in some of the harsh conditions across the southern border, right? So why don't we just put them up in tents somewhere like that sheriff was doing in Arizona years ago?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. That's why I was really pleased when the city of Billings, and you had leaders on the Billings City Council, for example, like Jennifer Owen, and working with, you know, our county commissioners like, you know, John Oslin, the late great John Oslin, and to say, hey, okay, do we need more jail space? Yes. But why don't we just work together and build a temporary detention facility to deal with the immediate threat and the immediate impact? And yeah, same concept. We don't need a bunch of fancy facilities here. We just need a place to temporarily house these people and get them the heck out of here. And that's why it sounds like Alligator Alcatraz is so perfect, because you've got an airstrip that's already there. You've got some facilities that are already there. You got a whole bunch of crazy snakes and alligators surrounding it. So it works out perfectly. You bring them there. They get their due process, and then they get on the plane and they go back to where they came from, or another country for that matter. Yeah, Steve, thanks for the phone call. Great to hear from you. So yesterday I saw this post on X from Kristen Wagner. Kristen Wagner is incredible. She is the CEO of the Alliance Defending Freedom, which is such an incredible organization. My wife, Jessica, works for the Alliance Defending Freedom. And just remarkable. I'm so proud of her and all the work that she and they have been doing all across this country to stand up for women and girls and parents and people of faith. But anyway, Kristen Wagner, she actually spoke at the Montana Family Foundation banquet. What was that, 3-4 years ago? I can't remember when that was, but she had a great one-liner that I won't forget. It should be a bumper sticker. Her one-liner was, disagreement does not equal hate. Disagreement does not equal hate. How many people out there, they think that just because you disagree with them, that you hate them? But it's okay for them to disagree with you. See, if they disagree with you, you just realize that, yeah, it's okay, cool, man, we disagree, no worries. Hey, doesn't mean I hate you. Yeah, we can still go be friends, you know, go hang out, whatever. But they think that because you disagree with them, that you hate them, right? Anyway, I digress. Kristen Wagner said this on X yesterday. This is how it is done. In a breakthrough deal with the Trump administration, UPenn has agreed to, listen to this. So UPenn, that's where Leah Thomas was the man pretending to be a woman, who basically stole the national championship in swimming from the women. And you look at this dude, very obvious he's a dude. He would undress, like, when Riley Gaines would tell the story, I mean, it was just shocking and heartbreaking, and you wonder why some real man didn't stand up and do something about it back then. These women were forced to watch, you know, to be in the dressing room as this guy undressed in front of them, and then they were forced to stand there while he got handed the trophy that they fought for and trained for and won. So not only is President Trump stopping this nonsense of men taking away women's and girls' sports opportunities, I talked about it being basically, what was the word I just used a few minutes ago? Not retribution, a reckoning. There we go. Okay, this is how it's done. Kristen Wagner says this. UPenn has agreed to include biology-based definitions of sex in their sports policy, formally apologize to the female athletes who were forced to compete and share a locker room with a male swimmer, and then get this one, restore all the records set by those female athletes. So this dude thinks he can come in here and undress in front of these women and then steal their records and steal their trophies. Not only is Trump saying, hey, that's not happening anymore, but those records are going to be erased, and those women earn that title as the record holders. They will keep those titles as the record holders. As a result, Penn has chosen to voluntarily resolve its Title IX violations. Female athletes from across the nation, including ADF clients, Selena Soule and Adelia Cross, were at the White House with Education Secretary Linda McMahon for yesterday's announcement. Kristen Wagner from ADF added this, institutions everywhere should take note. This is a model for righting an injustice. I'm deeply grateful to the Trump administration for keeping its promise to defend women and enforce Title IX. Here is Education Secretary Linda McMahon talking about this news last night with Laura Ingraham.
Thanks to President Trump and the Trump administration, what he campaigned on, what he actually signed an executive order on, which was that men will not be able to compete in women's sports, was acknowledged by the University of Pennsylvania. We've signed an agreement with them, and we hope that that agreement is going to be a template for other universities who acknowledge that there is no room for men in women's sports, not only during the competition, but also in the locker room and other intimate spaces where these women were required to be with males who changed in front of them. So this is a big deal. The university is apologizing. It is taking away the titles that were incorrectly given to men. I have stated that it will not have anything on its website other than the fact that they are complying, you know, with Title IX. We are just very pleased with the outcome that we had today. It's an utter triumph for President Trump and for the administration, but mostly
all right, and oh, let me
girls who will come behind the Riley Gaines and the Paula Scanlons and others. And they've really laid the groundwork for them to be successful. And the star of the hour really is Riley. And I know she's on for you to ask about that.
All right. So, yeah, sorry, I interrupted that there, but I was going to try to sneak on Riley Gaines before we get to our next break here. But I'll save that for after the break. That was an important point that she just made there, that this victory is about righting a past injustice, but it's also about protecting the future for these young ladies that are coming up right now. I don't know if you guys remember this, but they've got an incredible triple jumper at Montana State University. And she broke a record. When was this? Was it earlier this spring? Yeah, it must have been earlier this spring. And our good friend Erin Graff, who's an incredible artist in Bozeman, she's got a daughter. They were both there to watch Erin Graff, who grew up in Harlow, Montana. She saw her own record be broken. She joined us on the show to talk about how happy she was to see her record be broken, because it's a sign of hope for the future and for the next generation and for little girls like hers, that they too can beat records. And she was also happy that the record didn't get broken by a man and a trophy given to a man instead of a woman.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary, not available in all states or situations.
Fox News commentary.
Do you want to aid and abet criminal illegal aliens? Well, sadly, there's an app for that. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From around the world, Trey Hingst, joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel.
To Washington.
I'm Mike Emanuel.
To your own backyard. If a story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. It's the Fox News Rundown. We give every story the deeper look it deserves with must-listen interviews and smart analysis from the voices you can trust. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at FoxNewsRundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Leading brown-heart liberals have found another way to aid and abet criminal illegal aliens through a new app called IceBlock. Its creator, Joshua Aaron, created the app in response to the Trump administration actually, you know, enforcing immigration law. The app allows users to alert those nearby that ICE agents are in the area. It's supposed to be an early warning system for illegals to evade law enforcement. The platform even goes so far as to allow users to pinpoint on a map where agents are spotted, what they're wearing, and what vehicle they're driving. IceBlock currently has over 20,000 users. This app isn't just treasonous, it's dangerous. Not only does it give criminal illegal aliens a heads up to escape arrest, it directly targets the men and women of ICE. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area for today, a late day shower storm possible towards Bozeman. Otherwise, high temperature readings will range from the low 90s in Bozeman to the upper 90s in Billings. For tonight, isolated shower and storm chances, especially towards Bozeman, with low temperature readings ranging from about 58 in Bozeman to the mid-60s in Billings. More shower and storm chances develop in the area Thursday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
Wittick and Zinn with the win. The Montana GOP prepares for the midterms. Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. We've got that story on our Montana Talks website, or if you got the app, you would have already seen the news. If you got the Montana Talks app on your smartphone. Plus, as predicted, the Montana congressional delegation helps block the sale of public lands. That one had to be really disappointing for the Democrats. The Democrats were
to win exciting raffle prizes.
Sweetwater Retirement Community, 3140 Sweetwater Drive. Your next chapter starts here.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I'm dying. I'm sitting here eating my protein chips. You know what I'm saying? Mid-morning snack. Got to get the protein chips in here before we get ready for the second to 2 hours of the show where we expand to the Flathead and Great Falls and then the rest of the state at 9. But I was checking X. I was checking Facebook.com/Flint Report. You know, if we had a Florida style, this is our theme now for the morning. If we had a Florida style alligator Alcatraz in Montana, what would we call it? Man, somebody just figured out a way to make the Berkeley Pit even more toxic. Rob Tiffany, he said this. Evan and Belt already came up with the idea of using the Berkeley Pit as our detention facility. That could be our alligator Alcatraz. What did Evan say about it? He called it, let me go through the messages here. Yeah, poison pit. Okay, here you go, though. This is from Rob Tiffany. A floating barge in the middle of the Berkeley Pit. We could call it Maxine Waters. I was like, man, you just figured out a way to make the Berkeley Pit even more toxic. Oh, the Maxine Waters Pit. Oh, man. Let's see. Rebecca in Bozeman called in an idea. Paradise Jaws is the idea from Rebecca in Bozeman. Rebecca, thanks for that call-in message. Let's see. Back to it here with Riley Gaines. So Riley Gaines is this incredible female athlete. And, of course, she has been really the leader in fighting for women's sports and for girls' sports opportunities and standing up to these men pretending to be women so they can take away opportunities from girls. She was also on with Laura Ingraham last night talking about this massive news out of UPenn.
Ma'am, I watched that video back, Laura, that you showed in the intro to this segment, and I cannot even believe that happened. All the while, so many sat idly by and watched and actually reprimanded us as women if we even dared to speak about this. To say that I, of course, I'm grateful for Secretary McMahon, for President Trump, for even Attorney General Bondi. She's been fantastic at the Department of Justice on this issue is an understatement. I feel vindicated. I feel like pigs are flying. I feel like hell has frozen over. So it is a fantastic day, of course, for sanity, for common sense, but I think more broadly for women, for humanity, for the little girl that I'm growing inside of me right now that I will welcome to the world in just a few weeks. I think of her. I think of her future. That is what Donald Trump and, of course, Secretary McMahon and myself, that is what we are fighting for. So very, very excited about today's news.
Yeah, Riley Gaines is pregnant, if you haven't heard, and she's going to have a baby girl. What an incredible response there, and it was so fun. Actually, Riley Gaines got a chance to meet her in Bozeman, along with Aaron Graff was there, and then our friend, the track star from the University of Montana, who stood up to John Tester, was also there as well. Let's see. Oh, man, almost out of time here. Yeah, I was joking that I was enjoying my protein chips while I was reading the funny comments to the Alligator Alcatraz of Montana story here. Some of you are probably thinking, Aaron, I want to try some of these protein chips. How can I get my hands on some of these protein chips? Look, here's the deal. Whether you live out on the Mondakistan border or you could be in Butte right now overseeing the Maxine Waters detention facility, I mean, no matter where you're at, no matter what your view is right now, Billings Last Diet has a remote option. And so they've got several different flavors of these protein chips. Or if you don't want the chips, you can get protein bars, you can get protein shakes, you can get all sorts of different things. And they will ship it to you. And they will ship you a scale. And you can do all of your interactions with them remotely to check in with your diet coach. And, you know, at first we were kind of wondering how this whole remote option thing would work. Because you guys know, so many of our listeners that live in Billings lost a ton of weight through Billings Last Diet. More importantly, we've kept it off thanks to Billings Last Diet. We were a little skeptical with this remote option at first, but it is working. I mean, Tim and Savage lost 100 pounds using the remote option, so it will work for you as well. Go to BillingsLastDiet.com or give them a call, 294-6751, and yeah, they can mail you those protein chips. But you got to go through the seminar. It's very informative, and it's free.
Jury decision has been announced, but Tuesday, the eight men and four women told the judge they were unanimous on the two charges each of sex trafficking and transportation for prostitution. However, it is split on the racketeering charge. To what degree is not known. The jury's note to the judge indicates that some members were unpersuadable. The judge agreed with the lawyers on both sides that 2 days, considering complicated evidence, is too soon to settle on a deadlocked charge. One family friend said Combs is feeling anxious about the decision to come. In New York City, Grinnell Scott, Fox News.
Hey, if you missed it, we had the chief of the U.S. Forest Service and Governor Greg Gianforte on Monday's Montana Talks. Check out the full podcast on the Montana.